Hello, everyone. This is Susie Ward, welcoming you to Matthew and Friends. The importance of balance in our lives is something that Matthew so often speaks about. And being healthy in mind, body, and spirit is an integral part of balance. It seems to me that it's so much easier to be ideally healthy when everything is going smoothly in our lives. Well, really, going smoothly in the whole world, because we're all connected energetically. So whatever is going on in the world affects us and vice versa. And right now, there's the global economic crisis that's affecting people around the world. And in this country, there's such strong divisiveness about the upcoming presidential election. Actually, the energy of fear and anger from just those two situations is swirling all around us. And it's totally the opposite of healthful energy. We all want to feel good physically, mentally, and emotionally. So it's especially timely that our guest today is a master in the healing field. Ani Avedisian is a medical intuitive specializing in energetic clearing and spiritual counseling. Ani, welcome. Thank you for being with us today.
Susie, hi. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Ah, yes, yes. And Ani, I'm still not hearing you really, really well, so please speak up.
Okay.
So that all our audience will hear you.
Okay, I'll shout a bit. How's that?
Oh, much better. Thank you.
Okay.
You know, I have read every word on your website. And actually, I'm going to mention the website right now. I might forget later on. www.anivedisian.com. And Annie, I want to tell you, I love your blog.
Thank you.
It is so filled with wit and good humor. It's such a big lift to the spirit all by itself.
And thanks, Susie.
Laughter is so good for the soul. But let's talk about the serious information you have there. I know you've been in counseling and healing services for 26 years. How did it all start?
Well, Susie, I don't know how serious I can be or how serious any of the information I have for you is. But I'll tell you, if we start at the very, very beginning, I guess I was about 4 years old in London. I grew up in London, England. And I have a very vivid memory of being in my back garden there in suburban London, dressed up as a little princess with my tutu and chasing fairies and just generally being a kid. And out of the blue, I kid you not, appeared two Viking warriors, just out of the blue. I was completely okay with it, of course. I was 4 years old, and you know, nothing frightens you at that age. Anyway, these chaps, they started talking to me. I don't really remember too much of what they said. I mean, I was four. I wasn't very interested. But, you know, as far as Viking interchanges go, it was pleasant enough. And they mentioned that they had a gift for me. I was, of course, engaged at that point, quite excited, thinking perhaps candy bar, pretty dress, you know, something like that.
Yeah, as a four-year-old would.
Exactly. But, you know, they just looked at me with this weird little Viking smile, and they touched my forehead, and they simply vanished. And I was like, oh, that was an interesting little slice of life, and I went back to trying to chase the fairies around the garden. So, obviously, I didn't understand the significance of this encounter at that point. But shortly after, I'd say within a day or two, my sight shifted. And what that means is, all of a sudden, I was able to see colors dancing around people and animals and, you know, sometimes plant life. Once in a while, when I looked at someone, they would morph in and out of other characters. And I would spend hours mesmerized by these colors and all of these forms. And the more I stared, the more detail I was aware of. So I tried to discuss this with my family, but of course, you know, I'm a kid. No one believed me. They thought it was just my imagination. But, you know, I was quiet, and I continued to stare, and I continued to be fascinated. And at some point, don't remember quite how old I was, Susie, probably about 6 or 7, I became aware of brilliant multicolored spinning discs pulling in and out of people's bodies. I mean, of course, now I know that's the chakra system, but I know I knew from nothing then. I found that if I touched these little spinning discs, I could feel all sorts of emotions very, very fast. And sometimes I would see images of other worlds and other times, not all of them very pleasant. But for a kid, it was a fascinating playground. I would just go up to members of my family, put my little tiny hand in their chakra, and it was a portal to another world. So that's how my clear vision started up. But I have to say, as fascinating as it was, I really had no idea what I was seeing or what I was supposed to do with it, if anything. Nobody was available to help me at that time. I have to say, you know, in deference to my father, who's probably listening, my father is a clairvoyant, and he is a brilliant clairvoyant, but he didn't accept his gifts or develop them until much later, so that at this point, I'm a little kid on my own. And on one level, here I am, plugged into the universal grid, and on another level, completely isolated from the rest of mankind, or so I thought and felt. Anyway, fast forward to about 11 years old. Everyone in the family has had enough of my crazy imagery. I'm not allowed to touch anyone's chakras anymore or talk to people who aren't there. And I'm sent off to boarding school. Now, if you know anything about British boarding schools, you will know that they are not interested in your aura or your chakras or your meridians. So although the depth and clarity of my vision continue to evolve, all real intuitive development for me was put on hold until after graduation. Now, school was difficult. I didn't really fit in, but I did my best. Fast forward again, because, you know, nothing significant happened in these little pauses. So fast forward again to my early 20s, young adult, a bit lost, trying to make my way in the world, trying to fit in. And, you know, by that time, I had received some formal training on energetic anatomy. So I wasn't feeling so disconnected. But, you know, I was born in the late 50s, and there wasn't a lot available then like there is now. So I still didn't really know what to do with my skill set. To be honest, what I really wanted to do, I was very, very, very strongly drawn to the ministry, and I explored that option many times. But no one wanted me, Susie, and I couldn't understand why. You know, I tried religious science and unity and the Unitarians and all the people that I resonated with, and they didn't think I'd make a good minister. So I couldn't understand it. All I wanted to do was introduce people to the concept of a loving God, not a God with one hand on a bottle of something and one hand on a smite button, you know. So I'd figured out by then most people hated themselves, really, because they thought God did. And I felt that my mission in life was to right that wrong.
Uh-huh.
So, on and off, I guess, I worked as a spiritual counselor, sometimes part-time, sometimes full-time. I worked as a faith healer, an old-fashioned hands-on faith healer. And that was really more about holding hands and praying together than clearing energetic lines in the methodical way that I do now. Undoubtedly, I mean, I loved it. It was satisfying work. I loved to see light bulbs go off in people's heads. But I knew that there was a missing link somewhere. I tried some of the traditional psychic work as well, you know, doing readings and all that type of thing. But, you know, to be honest, I was terrible. I just didn't have that type of skill set. All I knew is that I could see energy, and I could see it in vivid detail, and I still didn't know what to do with it. So fast forward again, and I don't remember when this was, but, you know, a couple of years on, I guess, one day, at the height of my frustration, I reached out finally and implored Spirit to show me my life's purpose. What was the use of having all this vision if I couldn't do anything with it? You know? And I was expecting God to boom down some fantastic, wonderful, metaphysical truth to me, And all I heard was the voice within me just said, your appointment is early. They're waiting for you downstairs. Go and greet them. So I did. And I went downstairs to meet my client, which is a very nice man. He was told he had a terminal condition. He wanted some prayer work, and he wanted to know what it was like on the other side. Before I had time to even talk to him or counsel him or lay hands on him, something bizarre happened, something that had never happened to me before. I'm accustomed at this point to seeing energetic anatomy, but suddenly his came into such vivid detail, into full view in such vivid detail, I just couldn't believe it. I was seeing things I had never seen before. And he felt a tremendous buzzing in him. I felt a tremendous buzzing. I didn't know what was happening, but I, you know, always go with spirit. I asked him to lie down on the sofa, and I'm still not sure to this day if I can really describe what happened, but it went something like this. We're both buzzing. I looked at my hands, and I have these little tiny white hands. All of a sudden, they're actually violet, and it looks as if they're in flames. And then my entire being started to shiver and shudder. And I guess what was happening is I was receiving some sort of super download and a hands-on tutorial all within a few seconds. I mean, I honestly thought at that point my socks would catch fire. You know? Then I looked at him, and instinctively, intuitively, I think I knew what to do. I went up to him, and I placed my hands in each of his chakras, and it was amazing. I felt the full force of, like, thousands of unresolved emotions passing through me. Each chakra, it was like it was spinning and clearing and purifying and cleansing and vitalizing. I was feeling all these emotions. I was seeing all these colors shoot out of him. The sounds were incredible. I just don't know, even know what I was hearing. Then, when I finished up at the crown chakra, I laid my hands upon his head, and I felt absolute peace, and the room was absolutely silent. He had passed out. In fact, we had to get his daughter to come and pick him up. And, you know, I stepped out of his aura and looked at just, you know, what had happened and tried to make some sense of it. You know, I was very happy. I had finally had my answer from spirit. I finally had a specialty. I had a niche. I knew what I was supposed to do. And from that point, all I really had to do to make any sense of it was to sit with it and practice. And that's pretty much what I've been doing, Susie, for the last 26 years.
That is fascinating. I didn't read that on your site, Annie.
I don't put everything on there.
I know that. No, but that, what an amazing, not just that experience, you know, which it is, that's phenomenal, but everything, you know, starting at 4 with the Vikings. Okay, so now that you are very happily, successfully, and productively in the healing arts, what is it that makes us sick?
Good question. You know, the truth is always a lot simpler than we've been taught. You know, why is there illness? What is illness? Illness starts with basically an incorrect perception of one's spiritual truth. Here's the scoop. Our bodies cannot get sick on their own. It's not possible. They can't create on their own. Only our mind is capable of error. Now, let's remember, okay, and sometimes I have to say to your listeners, I use the word spirit and God and I interchange, okay? So let's remember, God created us with a thought. So, thought first, then energy, then physical manifestation. So we go back to the previous point. Our bodies cannot get sick on their own. The body simply reacts to the mind's output. One thing that human beings don't understand, and we have to understand this, if we're going to evolve on any level, there is nothing that the mind cannot control. And I wish everybody would repeat this 100 times a day. There is nothing the mind cannot control. We're divine beings, we're having a human experience. And if we think otherwise, there's your incorrect perception. There's the deviation. There's the sense of separation from our true spiritual identity. This causes a split. That split, that we're separate from God somehow, which is completely wrong, leads to confusion. Confusion leads to an inability for us to resolve our emotions, the main source of intelligence on this planet, the emotions that we're supposed to resolve in love. Confusion puts us in a fearful state of mind. That compromises the energetic anatomy. That results in more confusion, and that makes us feel powerless. And all the way down the line at some point, that disrupts cellular communication. So when we give away our power, we get sick. When we lose our sense of divinity, we shift out of vibrational alignment, we get sick. Now, you know, illness does not exist in higher dimensions, in higher levels of consciousness. Of course, it doesn't exist. So, you know, healing is redundant there too. But we're on a physical plane, and we have contrast, and we have polarity, and that's what we came down for. So I think of our bodies, perhaps, if we're on a spiritual quest, I think of our bodies as some sort of training tool for our minds. So if we understand what illness is, then we realize that healing is simply a release from fear, a vibrational shift back into cosmic alignment. You know, if I can talk about unresolved emotions just for a second, because that's one of the main causes of the illness, everything starts out with the thought, all of these ego-driven emotions that we have, anger, frustration, blah, 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 you know, we're supposed to feel them so that we can work through them. We're supposed to recognize that they come from ego and not from spirit, and to resolve them in love. If we don't resolve them in love, what happens is they become feelings buried alive. And at some point, they will work their way through the entire energetic anatomy and find a nice little place in your body cellular and settle down and give you anything from a common cold to something quite nasty. And I suppose you could take a pill, or you could take some sort of a cure, in brackets, and resolve the symptomology. But if the root cause still exists in energetic emotion, you're going to get sick again. There's no point in looking for a cure if the vibrational cause isn't corrected. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as you were speaking, I really was listening to you and not just to my own thoughts here. So often in Matthew's messages and in the books, he talks about what amounts in bottom line. Change your thoughts and you will change your life.
Amen, yes.
Yeah, I mean, when we have negative thoughts, they are creating negativity that then our negative thoughts shoot out of the universe and get attached to similar negative thoughts and bring this back to us.
So, absolutely. I mean, thoughts really affect the body. Everything started with a thought.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we are what we think and feel. I think most of us understand that now, at least intellectually. You know, every thought that we have creates an energetic pattern. And because we are spirit expressing, God's energy, source energy, pours itself into that pattern. It invokes the law of attraction and starts the manifestation process. You know, even casual thoughts on some level energize. So, you know, I think we all know the universe that created us and loves us unconditionally can only see our perfection. And if we don't know that, we need to wrap our minds around that. The universe that created us sees us as perfect. It cannot see us any other way because it is perfect. So it assumes quite rightly that a perfect being would only think and give energy to things that it desired. So if you're, for example, a hypochondriac, you know, and I mean this respectfully, you know, if you're a hypochondriac constantly thinking of your sickly body, guess what the universe is going to do to you?
Break you more sickliness.
Exactly. You know, it's going to say, hey, look down there at Joe Blow. You know, he keeps worrying about his genetic predisposition to obesity or something. You know, let's give him more fat cells, you know. And before you know it, the law of attraction is in there and his mother shows up with a box of donuts. You know,
yes.
You know, God's laws are impersonal. God does not play favorites. The universe has no sense of humor.
Well, yes, not just my understanding. I think all scientists understand this, that energy is, well, that everything is energy, and energy is neutral. It has no reasoning power, no judgment. It simply provides for us what we send out in the form of our thoughts. And another thing that you mentioned, and Matthew has talked about this in everything, is that fear is the energy of fear is magnified. So when we are thinking about, oh, I'm so afraid this might happen, the universe just answers us and it gives us what we're so afraid might happen. So would you amplify a bit about how fear affects us mentally, emotionally, and physically?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I mean, I'm a medical intuitive. I work in a clinic. I see people on a daily basis who have come in who have been diagnosed with one thing or another, and mainly they're terrified. So, yes, fear is a specialty. You know what fear does? Fear paralyzes us. It cripples us. It puts us into an energetic lockdown mode. And if you have clear sight, it's a very painful sight to see people's energetic anatomies so compromised and so crashed. Fear prevents change, and, you know, change is growth. Growth is change. The main thing I have to say, over the years I've discovered, fear disables our creativity. Now, there's going to be a lot of creating in this next sentence, so bear with me. But fear disables our creativity. We were created by our creator to go forth and create something, right? I mean, this planet, for example. So when we vibrate at the speed of unconditional love, all bets are off. We're divinely inspired. We're unlimited. We're full of untapped potential. We're like these divine juju bugs running around the universe, creating and just sparkling. You know, that's a creative mindset. It's an excited, love-based, you know, emotion, and you can only create from love. When you're stuck in fear, what happens essentially is that you step away from your role as a creator, and you react. You become a perceiver. You don't create anymore. You feel like someone who's left out of the big picture, and you may feel the need to defend yourself against some sort of imagined threat. In all things, you know, fear is the absence of love. If you cut yourself off from love, you disconnect from your point of power, and you become unstable, and you feed the ego. And when you become unstable, you get sick, and the ego loves that. It pushes you back into its domain. You know, it's this feeling of stuckness, this paralytic fear, a lack of connection, a lack of love. We deal with it on a daily basis. It's a program that's run through us for billions and billions of years, this ego that is the exact opposite to our spirit. You know, how do we overcome it? We stop, we think, and we have to think about the big picture. That's the point in life that we stop worrying about details, or why do I have cancer, why did my foot fall off, or whatever. You know, we sit and we think, really and truly, what's going on here? Why is everything so fast? Who am I? Where did I come from? What's it all about? Let me take some quiet time and get some guidance on this. You know, you want to be a creator, not a perceiver.
So with that, to me that says go within, you know, be still and listen. Then all the answers, all the truth for each of us is within, whether we call it the God self, the higher self, inner voice. That's who we are, is what's within, instead of the superficial, well, not that a body is superficial, but it's not where the divinity is. The divinity is within the skin and bones.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, I think a lot of spiritual education over the years, it's been sorely lacking. And religious education is rather hit and miss, and I have no problem saying that. We just haven't been taught these things. People have been raised in fear. And again, you know, Susie, it goes back to that sense of that false sense of separation with one's divinity. You know, we have to break that cycle. We have to teach that. God loves us. That's all that there is. Nothing exists outside the mind of spirit. You know, if we can break that cycle, we're in.
You know, you mentioned religions. And yes, what I've been told, and I certainly can see it now. I didn't during my 35 very active years in Christian churches, but there are so many passages in the Bible that make God something to fear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the story of Abraham and Isaac. Okay, now if you really believe in me, you will kill your son. That was totally man-made. That is so far from the truth. But between the orientation that we get in churches, in school, we are really not taught the truth. Because our parents and teachers don't know the truth, you know.
Exactly.
It's my understanding that infants do know. I mean, when these tiny babies are just there and they look so helpless and as if they know nothing, they actually come in with all the truth of God, of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they have to learn to adapt to human life, what their soul knows, there is that separation that you mentioned, because they are taught just what you were. There
mm-hmm.
are no fairies. There is nothing that you can't see, you know, that we can't see. You're not seeing it either. It's your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
there is a lot to overcome. And, you know, something that you said on your site that just seems to say it all, when you were talking about energetic healing is releasing fear, it returns your default setting to joy.
Yes. That's right. Our default setting is joy. You know, I don't know where I picked up the saying, but it's one of my favorites, Susie. God is not to be discovered. God is to be uncovered.
Ah, indeed.
All right. So everyone's on a journey. They're out there everywhere looking for God, looking for God, looking for spiritual truth. And you know, the further you look, the further away it goes. My point is that everything is already within. We came in with everything intact. And even though we're in a sort of third density physical thing right now, the genes are in there. You know, the code is in there. We know it all. If we would only be quiet for a second and learn from within, you know, like you said, just take that time and learn from within and understand that the vibration that created the universe is love. Therefore, it's the only vibration that exists. And if you're not experiencing joy, then something's wrong. Now, we're all going to have bad days. You know, we're here to resolve emotions. We have to work through them until they're resolved. But that we have to have that undercurrent of joy in our lives. That's the creative force. That's our security. And then the universe picks up on that and gives us more joy, and we're totally safe and secure in our spirit self. The more joy we have, the more we're aligned, i.e. the less contrast there is between the spiritual and the physical. The more alignment we have, the less illness there is. And you walking around like a little mobile sacred space with your bright, shiny aura, blessing the world and infecting people with silliness and happiness. I mean, how cool is that?
Well, it's mentally, we understand all the words. And you said something about in the more evolved civilizations and the souls in spirit who are highly involved, well, it would refer really only to those in physical form, what I'm going to say, is that there is no programming or patterning
mm-hmm.
for illness and death. I've had the wonderful experience of having received fascinating information from at least a dozen representatives of those physical civilizations that, frankly, I can't even imagine their evolutionary status, because they are so vast, so powerful. But one of them, Samanton, who was telling me about their programming, which is excludes fear, it excludes illness, aging, death. But he mentioned that we down here, we on Earth, put such store in our memory. You know, we need memory, so many of us, particularly in these past few years, are feeling, oh my goodness, you know, how could I? Why can't I remember this? And we feel as if we are there's memory loss. He said, if you don't have those feelings that you're losing your memory, you are stuck. That's a time to worry, because what is happening actually is, in these higher vibrations that Earth has been continually going into higher and higher, what's happening is that layers of forgetfulness or layers of other ego-type patterning are being removed one by one. And so I can't show you how reassuring that was to me to hear that from Samanton a few years ago.
Oh, my, that's absolutely fabulous, because, you know, what are we trying to do except if not live in the eternal now? You know, and I think that's what you're describing. They're guiding us to live in the eternal now.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Let me take a look at my notes here. I feel sort of overcome at this point, honey.
I'm feeling a bit buzzy myself, Susie.
Are you? Good.
This is my first ever radio show, and I'm excited beyond belief. I feel so special to be on the radio, I can't tell you.
Oh, wonderful. Honey, would you please mention how you can... I know you're in Portland, and I know that I'm going to be meeting you next week with my daughter, and
oh, that's
I am
right, yes.
Thrilled about this. But I know that you heal remotely. Can you please talk about how you do that?
Of course, yes. You know, how does a radio work? You know, how much bandwidth do you have? You know, we're all entangled. We're all the same energy. So there's no reason why we can't think to each other from across the universes. There's no reason why I shouldn't be able to work on somebody on Mars, for example. So, you know, the logistics behind it are very, very simple. I do prefer to work with somebody sending me a picture of them, a fairly current picture. And then we will set up an appointment, and we chat on the phone for a few minutes and just get that energetic buzz going, and, you know, discuss people's concerns and what their expectations are, etc. And then basically I hang up on them, and I sit down and I transport myself and join their energy, and do a complete energetic clearing, as if they're here in front of me with my hands on top of them. It takes about the same amount of time. You're going to feel pretty much everything you feel if you were on a table in front of me. And at the end of it, you tune up, you know, you sort of tune up and tune out for a little bit, fall asleep and absorb all that energy. I have to say, sometimes, Susie, it's actually easier for a practitioner to work with someone remotely, because there's not that much conversation, and there's not too much in the way. People just tend to tune out and really allow spirit to flow through them.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just a fabulous way of working. Just the same as coming in. You know, it's energy is energy. If you can tune into someone, you can tune into them and work with them. You know, we're all entangled.
So it's like telepathic communication. It's soul to soul.
Yes, it is. You know, I have to say when I do this kind of work, and I say we because, I mean, obviously it's not just me, but when this work happens through me, one of the requirements for me is to actually relinquish my Earth personality of Ani Avedisyan. And I just relinquish that, and I invoke and I join with Christ of Consciousness, and merge with that, merge with all the entities that come together and for me are called, you know, the Divine Healer. And when that happens, I feel as if I have access to absolutely anything and anyone on pretty much any dimension, on any realm in the known or unknown universe. That's the beauty of joining with that consciousness. And you're at a much higher level of consciousness than you normally would be in your Earth personality. And so your divinity is talking directly to that person's divinity, and that's when healing takes place. Because it's not a question of faith or some sort of nebulous faith or, oh, Lord, let's do this. It's a direct knowing. It's a connection with spirit saying, Ani's going to sit here for a minute, Lord, but her divinity is going to match yours, and let's do this thing together. That's when magic happens. Well, I shouldn't say magic. I get reprimanded for that. This is the correct outworking of one's spiritual state.
Well, I still sort of tend to think of my own connections as magic and miracles, because I know I get out of my own consciousness somewhat, but as I'm receiving the information, I get questions about what they're saying, so I'm not as out of the way as you are. And you spoke of this healing as transformative process.
Yes.
And that's excuse me, please. So that's it on a personal basis. The same thing that Matthew has spoken of on a global basis as you are transforming your world.
Absolutely.
Because as each individual contributes to that knowingly,
mm-hmm.
We're transforming our world. This is really so important for people to know. It's their personal lives, and through that, they are helping to transform our world.
Absolutely. You know, let's teach people that, you know, by clearing themselves, they can't but not impact everybody else in a positive manner. You know, we're all entangled. Absolutely.
Yeah. Are you seeing any difference in your clients today from when you started a quarter of a century ago?
I'm seeing a difference in me.
Well, I can say that too, yeah. And thank God for it, right?
Yes, thank God for it. I mean, a quarter of a century ago, I was a very arrogant young woman with a skill set that I thought would, you know, change the world. I'm a lot more humble now, Susie, I'll tell you. But yes, I know what you mean. I am seeing a difference, actually. It's sort of twofold. And don't forget, I grew up in London, so I had to work with, and I've traveled all over the world, so I've worked with many, many different cultures, and each of them are a little bit different. But one of the major differences I've seen, I don't know about the quarter of a century, but the last 10 years or so here in the States, I was very worried, if I did, I would have been, about the state of our young people and their total disconnectedness. It concerned me. They were off the grid somehow. And in the last couple of years, what I'm seeing is a tremendous shift in young people's awareness. They've suddenly started asking questions again. Not just sitting there playing with their Game Boys or whatever it is they play with now, you know. They've suddenly started engaging again, and parents are teaching etiquette again, and they're teaching courtesy and self-respect. And when I lay my hands, I deal with a lot of ADD kids
and a lot of
young alcoholics, that type of thing. When I lay my hands upon the kids' heads these days, they're not nearly as fragmented. So I am seeing hope. I'm seeing less fear. I'm seeing more joy, and I'm having young people actually shut up and listen to me. And that hasn't happened for a very long time, Susie.
Well, then that is good news.
Yes.
The consciousness raising.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really feel it. I mean, I really feel it. Deep down, we're really anticipating this new golden age, and we're getting excited about it. There's this undercurrent of absolute excitement, you know?
Well, I certainly do feel that. Ani, I'm going to interject something here.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned in my note at the bottom of Matthew's last message that today is the last Matthew and Friends show. And I also wrote that there would be a lovely surprise in connection with this. Well, it's very synchronistic, I think. Well, it absolutely is, that you are my guest today. And now I'm going to introduce what that surprise is. I'm going to be introducing in just a second Cynthia Sloan, my dear friend and the finest psychic intermediary I know. I am absolutely thrilled that Cynthia and her co-host, Ani, are going to be presenting their own show called Awakening Matters. It will be a spiritual dialogue that invites divine wisdom, joy, and laughter. I know you'll love it. And now, Cynthia, hello.
Hi.
Hi, dear. You were on the show about a year ago, and you just gave amazing information. But that's a long time for listeners to remember what you talked about. So before you and Ani tell our listeners about your ideas for Awakening Matters, will you please tell us how you do psychic readings?
I would love to. Hi, Susie. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I adore you.
Thank you, dear. Igualmente.
Yes. And I am so happy to speak to your listeners about what I do. You know, I really have the profound communication opportunity through universal love on a visual and holographic communication about each and every form that's on the earth from 6 years old on. At 6 years old, I have the ability to see the light body around my father, his sacred geometry, his grid system, his the moving colors that are intertwining with the chakras, the hall of records, past life, present life, all of his guides. Of course, at 6 years old, I was just enthralled and knew not what any of that meant, except I felt deep, enveloping, encompassing love that was warm and was filled with the intelligence of all that is. And I have been, from 6 years old on, guided to learn from this plane of demonstration, which is what I call this physical earth, and to help people remember that they were already born with all the knowledge that they need to access and to move into a state of love and a state of repairing themselves and one another. I do it visually prior to every reading. I asked out of permission and request and respect to receive that person's either phone reading or in person hologram. And in that hologram is access to that person's present information, past life, and future opportunities. And I'm able to communicate with that consciousness and also communicate with the individual's guides and counsel, see them visually, loved ones on the other side, introduce who's there, why they're there, how they're there, and really help the person from where they are in that moment, sitting in the present moment with me, to, and themselves and their counsel, to move into wholeness and completion and celebration by getting back in touch with their tools and really the access to all they have.
Thank you. And unless I missed something, although I was listening very closely to you, you did say sitting with them. And I know that you do this remotely, too. You have done this for my daughter and other family members in other countries. Mm-hmm. And I know that they are just a few of the people that you do readings for in many other countries.
Yes.
Yes. So this people don't have to be visiting you in Portland.
Not at all. Not at all. No, no. We would have a big space would be needed for all of us to sit there with all of our councils and all the universe. So, no, I'm able to be guided to receive the person's hologram. I do readings in Japan, in China, in Australia, in Europe, all over the world, and with a translator. Where I speak to the translator speaks to the client, and then there's a bridge created. Because universal language is a feeling language. It's a language of the heart, and it's a language of the soul. And when communicating telepathically at that level, there's only understanding, and then their guides, their level of communication from past life mastery to present life issue, is translated in a language that they can reassess their situation, their life, their love, and really put it into motion with more of themselves, remembering and really reclaiming more of themselves in their present experience. But yes, I do phone readings all over the world.
And South America, Latin America too.
Absolutely, as inclusive in the world.
I know that's part of the world, but you mentioned some specific places, and I just wanted to get that.
Yes, thank you. Absolutely. You know, I will do a reading if from Jupiter, from Mars, wherever I'm called.
You and Ani are such a perfect combination to do awakening matters. And now, would the two of you please talk about that show that you're going to be starting next week?
Absolutely. Well, I can only say that I'm grateful for the opportunity to not only laugh with Ani, but share like-minded ideas and at the same time very different points of view, very different languages, but sometimes the same meaning. So it will cover a large base and a large arena of really an exciting and engaging interactive communication that involves the listeners on matters covering everything from financial crisis to current events and really everything in between. I'm from Brazil, she's Britain, the humor is fantastic, and the spirit present. I mean, I cannot say too much that I think our humanity is excited to do this, but then I have to say all the guides and beings of light that surround us, they're ecstatic to be heard. They're ecstatic to have the opportunity to interact and to share on a much bigger level.
Ani. Thank you, Cynthia. Ani, what would you like to say?
You know what? I'm not going to talk so much about this, but I'll tell you what I want in life. I want to bring metaphysics to the masses. I want people to know that they weren't created to suffer and slog and sacrifice. I want them to know they were created to experience and to express, and I want to make a pact with everyone to catch up with their souls while they're still in physical form, and I want to bring metaphysics home to the common man and woman. That's where I'm at.
I think that is a wonderful goal.
Thank you.
Yeah. Susie, if you don't mind, what now that you are in your rite of passage from enlightening and warming the hearts and minds and reconnecting us all to truth, what does your future hold? What's the next step for you?
Well, I don't know all that far into my future. I wish I did, but I don't have the gifts that you and Ani have. And Matthew says, Mother, life is a journey of self-discovery. But I have been guided to write a little book about the things that animals have told me. And I am excited about this. This is something that I will so enjoy doing. Most of what I have been hearing and the conversations are with our dogs. But I also have talked with deer, squirrels, birds, and dolphins. But even a cricket, I mean, that just absolutely blew my mind. The cricket was like a monologue.
Oh, and, how fabulous.
And I have to say that I was surprised. And he wound up by saying, I know you're not going to be able to remember this. And that goes back to the layers of forgetfulness that are being peeled away from my me. He said, when you are writing the book, I will be there with you, and I will tell you this again so you can record it accurately. But at any rate, that's what I'm going to be doing. My daughter Betsy is coming on Halloween, her 49th birthday, and after Betsy leaves, I have some loose ends that I want to tie up, projects here at home and a few little computer projects to wind up. And then, in combination with answering emails, going back as far as June 1st of this year, and I'm going to work both ends toward the middle, the recent ones and the old ones, I will be writing that book. So I am very excited about my near future.
I'm excited as well. That really sounds like an amazing love collaboration.
Cynthia, please mention when your first show will be, the time and the date.
Sure. That will be November 3rd, a Monday at 8 p.m. And it's on bbsradio.com, of course, on Station 1. And you can check out both our websites. It's Cynthia Sloan, S-L-O-N, no E or A, .com, and Ani Avedisian, A-N-I-A-V-E-D-I-S-S-I-A-N. And I'm really hoping to engage in topics of our humanity from an infinite dimensional perspective, and include in that lightness, love, and lots of joy.
And it will be bi-weekly, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you,
Cynthia and Ani, for being here today. What a joy it is for me to end my radio career with the two of you as my guests. It's so perfect. It's such a perfect way to wind up almost 2 years of Matthew and Friends. I have immensely enjoyed the shows that I've done, and I have many people to thank for this. Don Newsom, I hope you're listening. Thank you with all my heart for the opportunity to have this airtime. I thank all of the wonderful guests who have joined me each month, and I send special thanks to you, the listeners who have been so loyal, who have let me know how much you have enjoyed the shows. I want to tell you, hold your light steady and keep your bright vision of Earth's golden age, where everyone will be living together peaceably and in harmony with all of nature. And now, in closing, Matthew and I send blessings, joy, and love to all of you. Our energy bonds are everlasting, so it's not that this is really goodbye. It's more like hasta luego, until later.